Chapter one we're in, and we're not going to get out of chapter one because you got to understand the book. It's a unique book. But remember, there's four things that these Old Testament prophets did. They said God's wrath was going to come. Then they said why God's wrath was going to come. Then they gave the specific destruction that was going to come. But what was the fourth thing that they always gave? Hope, or an opportunity for what? Repentance, revival. That was always their last message. If you turn back to God, if you'll seek righteousness and seek the Lord and seek Him in humility, none of these things have to happen. This is God's plan, but you can avoid that. And so those are the four things that come really essentially, if we could break it down, in every one of these prophets that were prophesying the destruction of Jerusalem by Babylon. And again, but so his idea of destruction was the day of the Lord. It was Babylon. It included Babylon. But it was the day of the Lord, that finality when Jesus Christ returns out of heaven and there's true massive destruction like man has never seen before. And I think that in that day of the wrath includes the tribulation period, that man's going to see wrath like they've never seen wrath before. And it's going to culminate with the death of every unsaved person on this earth. So when they go into the millennium, there will not be one unsaved person going into the millennium. There will be a second time. See, there's going to, at the rapture, only unsaved people will be on this earth, because all the Christians will be taken up. So there will only be unsaved for a period of time, for a short period of time. But then at the millennium, there will be no unsaved for a period of time. But you don't have to get saved. The babies that are born, everybody that goes in the millennium will be saved, but not everybody that's born into the millennium is going to be saved, because you know Satan's released and he's for a short season and he gathers up an army, literally an army out of that. But again, if you think about it, I don't know how many thousands or hundreds of, I don't know how many people are going to go into the millennium, but they're alive for 1,000 years and there's not a lot of death. And there's no pain in childbirth, ladies. And God provides. There's not going to be a worry about finances or anything. So I think there'll be some pretty large families during that time. And so I think it's just going to, the population is just going to explode. But a lot of those, some of those people I know, because Satan is released for a season and he gathers up an army to one last battle against Christ. So that includes the day of the Lord. That's what Zephaniah is. Joel was the day of the Lord as well. So that's the coming wrath of God. It's the day of the Lord, but it includes Babylon. Then Zephaniah, in his second point, and beginning at verses 4 through 6, he begins to give the reasons for God's judgment, why judgment is going to come on Babylon. And we looked at that last week, and the idea was because of religion. They had turned away from God. And I broke it down into three areas, and you have to read carefully in Zephaniah to find where these are, but they're there. Let me take a minute to get to my passage so I can read it for you. But in religion, there were three things he broke it down. Number one, there's idolatry. What's idolatry? Serving other gods, false gods. Anybody, you just serve other gods. But then there was spiritual adultery. What was that? Anybody remember? Worshiping God, but including other gods. So somebody's married and they cheat or do adultery on their husband or wife. They're married, but they, you know, that's the idea, spiritual adultery. We find that especially in Hosea. Then the last one was apostate. That means they didn't even want anything to do with God or the false God. They just wanted nothing to do. They were like atheists. They were just wanted nothing to do with God, period. They didn't worship God, but they didn't worship idols. They just said, I'm in control of my own life, and I'm going to do that. And that's what they can. He said there were no priests in the land. Now, there were priests, but not godly priests. You know, throughout Israel's history, there was always priests, but really there were no priests. Again, I equated that there's pastors today, but really they're not pastors. They just fill a spot. They call themselves a pastor, but they don't preach the whole counsel of God. They don't stand on truth. They don't stand on righteousness. They don't follow this book. They don't preach this book. And you can call them a pastor, but they're not a pastor. They would call themselves that. That's the idea. So there were no priests. But not only the priests were bad, but the people had gone into idolatry and spiritual adultery, and some of them became apostates. So right there, he said, God's wrath is coming because you've lost sight of God. That was the first reason, your religion, your worship. Then he gave a second reason, verses 7 through 13, and it talks about the social customs of the day. Let me read this for you. Hold thy peace at the presence of the Lord, for the day of the Lord is at hand. For the Lord hath prepared a sacrifice. He hath bid his guests. And it shall come to pass in the day of the Lord, say, I will punish the princes and the children, king's children, and such as are clothed with strange apparel. There's the first social thing we're going to talk about. They were clothed with strange apparel in verse 8. And the same also will I punish in those that leap on the threshold, which will fill their master's houses with violence and deceit. That's the idea of the social. Now that strange apparel, again, he uses the phrase, they were clothed with strange apparel. Well, what does that mean? What exactly does that mean? Well, some think that they wore the foreign clothes, the pagan, the clothes the pagan, the world would wear. They had done. Now, I don't know this for sure, but I think the Jews, they didn't have a dress code. They were like churches today. Do we have a dress code here? No. But do the people dress pretty nicely here? Yes. Because maybe that's how you grew up. Maybe that's how I love it when you dress up. You know what? The tie comes straight from the pit of the devil. But I wear one. I wear one. Not on Wednesday night, thank God. But I wear one on Sunday. You know why? I mean, if I didn't wear a tie, would that make me wicked? No. But it's just typical dress of a pastor, I think. And I know a lot of pastors are going away from that. They're going away from the tie. I know a lot of them teaching polo shirts and jeans and tennis shoes. But that's not me. I don't think the Jews had a specific dress, but I can tell you this. I think their dress was different than the world's dress. I think you could look and see. You know, if you go down toward Hesperia or Holton, can you tell when you come across an Amish person? Why? Well, number one, they might be in a buggy. That's the first giveaway. But if you don't see them in a buggy, their dress. I can tell an Amish person because of their dress. Now, I don't know if they're required to dress like that. I don't know too much about the Amish religion and what they believe. Had some interesting talks with the guys who built our garage, and it was interesting. He was no longer Amish. He grew up Amish, the guy who built our garage, but he got out of it, and he didn't have any use for it. But I don't know, but you can, for some reason, you can tell an Amish when you see an Amish because of the way they dress, especially the ladies. Well, I guess the guys too. One, they have a beard, and two, they have spenders, and you can just really tell them. I think the Jews had a little bit of a specific dress. And I think that's what he's talking about. But it wasn't just that they were dressed. I think they dressed poorly in the world's dress. I mean, you don't have to have a suit and tie on, and ladies don't have to have a nice dress on. But you can dress worldly coming to church, can't you? And I know some ladies that do and guys that do. They dress like the world would dress because they want to identify with the world. I personally think that's what's taking place. Now, others think, some of the commentaries think that the men were wearing women's clothes and vice versa. Oh, does that sound a little familiar, folks? Maybe it didn't start in America. Maybe it started back in the Jewish realm. Men were wearing women's clothes and women were wearing men's clothes. Transgender, cross-dressing. I don't know. Personally, I don't think that's what it's in reference to, but some of the commentaries said that's a possibility with strange apparel. It could make sense. Still others go back to Amos and think that these were clothes taken from the poor. Again, they had robbed the poor. And you know that from Amos, if you remember our study of the book of Amos. So there's some possibilities of this strange apparel, but I really think they look like the world. We're acting like the world, dressing like the world dressed. I think some of it involved immodesty. And again, that's the principle that we hold at Faith Baptist Church, modesty. You know, I have ladies, and I appreciate this. They've called me, even my wife asked me this question, can I wear pants to this activity? And you don't have to get permission from me, ladies. You don't answer to me. You know who you answer to? It's God. So ask him if it's okay. And if you're comfortable with what you're wearing, that it would be pleasing to God, then you wear it. And I think that's the way it was for the Jews. That they had to please God in their dress. But I think they had turned and they were clothed with strange apparel. I think you could walk down the street. No, what was the Jewish nation? Why did God create the Jewish nation? Let me ask you that. We're in a small crowd here. Why did God create the Jewish nation? Aaron? Huh? Okay, why? They were his people. But why did he create his people? And why were they to be holy and separate? To be an example to the world. To bring the world to him. And I think that's why Paul calls Christians peculiar. I don't think that means weird. Even though there are some peculiar, weird Christians. But that's not what he was saying. I think he was just simply saying we need to be a little different from the world. You don't have to have every fad. Our children don't have to have every dress that comes out that matches the dress of the day. We don't have to dress like the world. And I think the same for the church of what for Israel. Israel was to be a testimony of God, and people were to look at Israel and say, That's why they worship. They couldn't do anything on the Sabbath. That was unique to all other nations. Now, did that make him holier? I don't think so. But it was a unique thing that they couldn't sell, they couldn't buy, they couldn't open the city gates to bring sellers in on the Sabbath day because that was a day of worship. That was a special day given to their God. And it was there as an example so the world could see what God was trying to accomplish. And that's how God was going to get known in the world. It was through Israel. But the problem is Israel became just like the other nations. And so that's why God set them on the shelf. I really, truly believe that. And when he set them on a shelf, he raised up the church. And so I'm not saying, but all I'm saying is we can't get caught up in the world. You don't need the latest fashions of the world. You don't need the latest fads of the world. You say, but then we're behind. I don't think the Amish have a problem with being behind. I just don't think we have to do that because that's what Israel did. And God put them on a shelf. And one day, I think Christianity has, I honestly, I don't like to see the dress that's taking place in churches. Now, does that prove that you're spiritual or not spiritual? Absolutely not. But just personally, I don't like to see it. And it goes back to Zephaniah. He said, all such are clothed with strange apparel. They were too much like the world. Listen, you don't become like the world to win the world. You become like Christ to win the world. The world doesn't need more of the world than the world needs Christ. And I know that's the philosophy. Our music's got to draw people in. Our dress codes have to draw people in. Everything we do has to draw people in. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. Now, would I love to draw people in? Sure, I would love to draw people in. Would I love people to come off the street and just come all the time? Sure, I would love that. But I don't want to do it at the sake of becoming worldly. That's what Israel had done. And then in verse 9, right after, in the same day also I'll punish all those that leap on the threshold. Let me catch up in my notes here. The Jews were unwilling to recognize their manner of dress as the people of Jehovah. Again, and the people of Jehovah adopted the idols of the surrounding nations, I think largely in hope of gaining political and business advantages. So I think they adopted their dress and were eager to parade their latest fashions. We imitate the world in so many ways, but we must imitate God. The phrase that Zephaniah used in verse 9, to leap on the threshold, also can be a problematic. It can mean a lot of things. Like in Samuel 5:5, do you remember when the ark was put in the with the god Dagon, the Philistines put him in with their god, and then they came in every morning and it fell over. But it talks about there in Samuel where when they would go across the threshold, they would leap on the threshold. They wouldn't touch the threshold. They would leap over the threshold. Now, don't ask me the significance of that because nobody can tell me. But they would leap over the threshold. And some commentaries believe that Israel had adopted, when they went into the temple, they leaped over the threshold of the temple, imitating the gods. But we don't find the Philistines' gods. We don't find God Dagon really saturated in the movement of Israel very much. Baal and Ashtaroth and some of those gods, but we don't see much of the Dagon. So I'm not 100% sure that's what that means. Others have linked it to the following lines in the sense of leaping over the threshold of houses in a sudden rush to plunder them and take from the poor. The homes of the poor were entered in by force to spoil their goods. That's what I think it was saying there. Okay, I will punish those that leap on the threshold. They would go into somebody's house, steal, and then run out. You know what I'm saying? Leap over the threshold. That's, I think, the idea that he was saying. I think it goes back to Amos and Joel when the rich were stealing from the poor. They not only took their homes in the courts, but they took their possessions as well. I don't know what they did with those, if they sold them or they took them to market, whatever they did with them, but that was common in that day, and I think that's what he's talking about. Just their social customs of that day. It was acceptable for the courts to rule in favor of the rich, and the politicians followed there, the courts, and nobody could get justice. Sound a little bit like the way America was heading, and I'm hoping there'll be a turnaround in our court system, but that's exactly what was happening. That the courts were ruling in favor of the politicians and the politicians were ruling in favor of the rich. So the rich were in control of the politicians who were in control of the government and the courts. And it's just a bad thing. That's what was happening. I think that's the social idea that he's talking about here. That the reference is to them wearing foreign clothes as well as the rich stealing from the poor. So Zephaniah is laying out. He said, the day of the Lord is coming, folks. And here's why. Number one, because of religion. You've stopped worshiping God. Idols, spiritual adultery, and apostate. You've turned away from God. But not only that in your worship, but it's in your social customs, your dress, your courts, your politicians, the rich take it. Man, you follow the Bible. And I challenge you to do this as you read the Bible through, those of you who read the Bible. Who does God tell Christians or tell people to take care of? The poor, the widows. Now, that doesn't mean people waste their lives on a lot of things. That's not what it's talking about, but if somebody in the church is legitimately on hard times, come alongside them. Help them. That's what we've tried to do. Because I think that's the biblical approach, but not in Israel. So the religion caused the judgment of God. the social customs caused it. And then number three, real quickly, and I'll be done, the commerce caused it. Verses 10 and 11, it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord, that there shall be a noise of a cry from the fish gate. I'll tell you that in a second. And a howling from the second, and a great crashing from the hills. Howl, ye inhabitants of Maktesh, for all the merchants are people are cut down. All they that bear silver are cut off. So now it's because there's such wickedness in the commerce of that day. Okay? It doesn't come out and just say that, but it undoubtedly concerns the injustices and corruptions that were current in the business world in Israel. The rich, of course, were stripping the poor of their possessions, even some of their necessities. And they were aided in this by the political system and the corrupt courts, as we just talked about. And so God said the merchants are going to be cut down. And what they're doing, now, I can say it like this. Our courts got a little strange there for a while. But you know what? They were winning, but not in God's eyes. God's still in control, folks. That's what he's saying. I see it happening. I see what's happening by the rich. I can see what's happening in their Wall Street. I know exactly what's happening with the politicians. I know exactly what's happening, and their judgment's coming one day. Boy, it had gotten in a poor way. Zephaniah tells us in verse 11 that the merchants will be cut down. And all them that bear silver will be cut off. Howl, ye inhabitants of Maktesh. That Maktesh, that word, that confused me. I had to do a lot of research on that. But that word Maktesh is not a proper name, but it represents a part of the city. If you go down to New York City, you know, you want to see the financial district, it's called what? Wall Street. Or the financial district. And then there's that down in New York City. I mean, there's Times Square. Then there's all the sights to see if you've ever been to New York City. And then you can go down to the financial district or Wall Street. That's where honestly the big bucks were made. That's where the money was made. That's what he's talking about, I believe, here, Maktesh. It was an area. He mentioned it in the fish gate. The fish gate that was open, and they had all kinds of different names for the gates around Jerusalem. The fish gate led right down to the financial district. That's where a lot of the buying and selling. Now, it probably wasn't in stocks and real and all the way it is today. Obviously, we've come a long way since then. But that's where the money was made, at the fish gate. You'd go into the fish gate if you wanted to go to the place where you wanted to buy and sell. You wanted to control the finances. You wanted to make money. You would go in the fish gate. And that would lead you to the area that I believe the Bible in Zephaniah calls Maktesh, where the markets were represented, where Babel, and he said it's going to come. And you know what? I guarantee you this. I can't stand here and say that for sure. But when I get to heaven, that's one of those things I'm going to check out and see if I'm right on. But I think when Babylon came in, you know where they went first? I think they went right through the fish gate. And I think they went right into the Wall Street and the financial district, and they just destroyed and demolished that and wiped it out and took everything from them. I think that's where they hit first. I think when Babylon came in to destroy Jerusalem, that's where they hit first. Now, I know they ended up destroying the temple, and I know they destroyed the entire city of Jerusalem, but I can almost guarantee that when Babylon came down, why would they hit the financial district? Why would they hit that area first? Because that's where all the money was. That's where all the possessions were. That's where the gold and silver was. And they were going to get their take. And God said, it's coming. He said, it's coming. He's coming. Why? Because you become so corrupt in your finances. You've been so corrupted that the wealthy are getting wealthier. That's not what you were designed to do. It wasn't you were designed to get rich. You know, I don't mind seeing a rich person. My brother has a benefactor at Camp Shatek that is just incredibly wealthy. But I love Ken. You know why? He wants to invest his money in that camp and things for God. I love it. About 3 years ago, he called my brother and said, you know, my brother had a golf outing to raise money. They ride motorcycles, Kip. They run motorcycles around to raise money. And he even took Gary will appreciate this. He took the golf course. Gary and I set up for him the disc course. And he had a fundraiser for that. And I remember Ken, my brother called me. And Ken said, Randy, I'm tired of this nickel and dime stuff. I'm tired of having to send you money down for all these fundraisers. He said, I'm just going to send you a check for $450,000 every year for the camp. So don't expect any more out of me than that. Randy said, okay. That's why our kids get to go to Camp Shatek. Ken pays for. That's why every inner city kid that he brings in from Minnesota comes free. And Ken pays for him. See, I don't mind rich people who use it for the glory of God. You know, that building, when my brother started building a brand new building, and we're going to go over there to finish an area that Gary and I, they've started fixing up, but Gary, it was Gary's idea, we got to go and help them finish this up. We're going to get back there. But he started that new building. You got to see it. It's beautiful. But when he built it, before COVID, he started to build it, or got the plans and got it approved, $1.7 million. And then through COVID, it went from $1.7 million to $3.2 million. My brother didn't know what he was going to do. Bless his heart, Ken came through and gave $2.7 million of that. Because he has a passion to use what God has made him so successful. He said he came to camp. Gary, were you with me when Ken came from camp from Alabama? Gary got to meet him. He said, God's blessed me in a way. How can I not give back? That's what God intended. I think if every Christian had that attitude, God would make us all rich. But you know what? If God made you rich and made me rich, you know what we'd do? I'd buy an NFL football team. And then I'd be down there every Sunday and I wouldn't even be in church. That was always my dream. You only got to have $1 billion today to do it. But it was my dream. That's what I would have done if I got rich. And God said, no, I'm going to make you a preacher. I'm going to keep you poor so you depend upon me. See, I couldn't have handled it. You know what? That's why maybe some of you aren't wealthy either. Because if you're wealthy, you wouldn't be here right now. You'd be in your second home. You'd be in your... You'd be flying to Florida by now. Yeah. To live down there. Vandals may end up living down there if the kids stay there long enough. I get that feeling, so I don't want her to retire right now, so she'll stay put here. But do you understand what I'm saying? I think if we would use it for God, that's why there are some wealthy men out there who use it for the glory of God. But then I see some of these wealthy, wealthy men, some of the wealthiest men in the world that have caused the corruption that's taken place in America today. God said, you don't have a lot of money because you won't use it for my glory. Money can be a battle. And I think it was for Israel. If you know the saying about Jews, they're very wealthy. They're very stingy. Jews across the world are very wealthy. But they also don't serve God or follow God. See, Zephaniah just says, the day of the Lord's coming. But here's why. He said, because of your religion. Because of your social customs. because of your commerce and wealth. You don't serve me. So judgment's coming. What a great truth. Now, you just read this. And I'm like you. You know how many times I've read Zephaniah? At least 75 times, because that's how many times I've read the Bible through. I've read it over and over again, but until I really study it, this is a tremendous, tremendous book. Because it gives the reasons where Israel was going. And even though you can't do anything about it, typically, we can at least know why judgment's going to come on America one day. I think judgment's going to come on America. Unless we humble ourselves and seek his face and turn from our wicked ways. Judgment's coming upon America. I don't know how it's coming, and I don't know when it's coming. The same reasons God brought judgment upon Israel are the same reasons I believe God will bring judgment upon America today. And so what a great book to at least get in our minds. When judgment does come, you'll have an idea why it came. It's a wonderful book. These Old Testament prophets, they're called minor prophets, but I'm hoping when I'm done with this study, you'll say, Pastor, they're not so minor. These are pretty major. What great truths we can learn from these minor prophets. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the privilege to know why judgment came. I guess there's many things I appreciate about my God, but one of the greatest things is you let us know from your word if judgment comes, why it's coming. You don't just bring judgment down. You tell us why. And you tell us how to even avoid it. Because you're not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Oh, God, thank you for the powerful, wonderful truths from the Bible, from the book of Zephaniah. Just looking at the reasons why are not a lot different than America. Religion, our social activity, our commerce, we're pretty much in the same boat Israel was.